Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Welcome back to the Soar to Success podcast. Each month, we talk with our featured expert who's on the cover of our magazine that month. Today, my guest is Dan Toussaint, executive recruiter. I'm sure you're going to enjoy hearing from Dan today. Welcome to the podcast, Dan.
Thanks, Pat.
I'm excited to have our listeners hear from you because I know that you have a different perspective than many of the guests that we have on this podcast. So let's go ahead and get started. And why don't you tell our audience more about what you do and then like why it's important for you to do this particular thing?
Well, this is a business I've actually grown into as my profession has evolved. I've been an HR partner, strategic HR partner in a professional service firm where I led an HR consulting group. And prior to that, I was involved with HR leadership roles in two hospitals where I was the vice president of HR at the one, employment manager at the other. But I was always that internal HR recruiter guy. And what I do now is I recruit leaders. I've been doing that for years prior to having my own business. I recruit leaders in manager roles and vice president roles and C-level roles, operations, sales, and finance, all of those. For me, that's been something I've done a lot of over my career in different roles. So leadership is my focus, and that's what I do. Why I do it, well, you know, part of my deal is whatever you do, you want to move things forward, you want positive direction for the organizations you're a part of. I've always wanted that for myself. And I look for people that are oriented that way, that have the street smarts to grow something, that are capable of kind of in the mode of Andy Dufresne and Shawshank Redemption, are looking at the future and how it gets you your freedom, but in a way that positively influences others the way Dufresne did in that classic movie. So that's why I do it. You know, leadership to me is critical thinking, people that think independently, people that are influencers and have a vision for themselves and their companies and that will make money and will make a difference.
Yeah, wow. And so how did you get started? What kind of led you to this profession of HR recruiting?
Well, I agreed to lead an HR consulting startup for a CPA firm. And there were several services, but I realized that there's a huge value to clients in what we were doing as in the recruiting. Mm-hmm. And the way we approached it really as almost like an HR internal provider, only they were paying us as an external provider. And we did that well, clearly understood creating a value for the clients. And that expertise of being kind of a strategic HR partner, I realized was something the clients valued. So started really with the CPA firm on a consulting basis, and then 8 or 9 years ago, I went on my own in starting my own recruiting business. But that ability to identify talent was you know, how I realized I should be doing this. And works in a way that grows the organizations, you know, in that I'm servicing.
Mm-hmm. And so, what do you enjoy the most about what you do now?
Well, you know, I talk with leaders every day about their careers, their aspirations for the future, and that to me is a challenging role to be a good listener and to ask the kind of questions to get people to think. And I love that. I really do enjoy getting acquainted with people that are planning a change and are already making a difference in the organizations where they're working.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so it sounds like you have always been really oriented towards bringing out the best in people and helping them find their way. Is that true?
Yeah. I would say that's part of why I work. I do enjoy that. And that's part of what we do in this business of moving people into something where they can make a difference, and encouraging them to do that in a way that's positive for them and for my clients.
So, Dan, can you tell me a little bit about the process that you go through in providing your services?
Absolutely, Pat. Our feature are twofold. One is speed, and the other is thoroughness. And I think clients looking to fill positions are interested in doing it quickly, and we have a 14-day pledge that will have two qualified candidates to you at any level position within 14 days. But also the thoroughness of our process in vetting them. And that's this process here. We profile the position before we take the job, meeting with the hiring manager and who else would be involved in the decision to find out what are those must-have experiences and accomplishments, and identify really at least 90% of everything you're looking for we will present in candidates. But we need to know 100% of what it is you really want in that role. And then our second piece to our process, you know, through Sanford Rose and through applicant tracking system that I use, we access databases to get you the passive candidates and to find through social media and through a variety of tools that we use to get the best talent available in your industry. Now, our screening process is a couple of pieces to that. We do the reference checking in advance of submitting a study. We also ask every candidate to complete a questionnaire on what they've done in their career. So we have a pretty good handle on that individual, as well as two different interviews before we would consider submitting somebody for a position. We have available to us other assessment tools if a client desires. For example, personal profiling, which I'm certified, and that's available if requested. But on a weekly basis, we provide a progress report to the client to let them know what's going on with the process and to give them information from the market in terms of what we're hearing from candidates out there, whether, for example, their salary range is adequate and whether or not enough really qualified people are available for their positions.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other pieces to the process we follow include a face-to-face interview whenever we can, and certainly helping the client in the offer negotiation. We stay in touch with candidates that have been hired for the first year on a regular basis, and provide information back to clients of things we're hearing from that new hire. So that's a process we follow with the jobs that we accept, and would welcome a conversation about that with employers.
Wow, it sounds like you're really become their partner.
That's our objective, yes. I think we do that, and I think we have several clients very, very satisfied, and quite a bit of our business is repeat business from clients. You've used this for other positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. Good. Thank you. So what's your vision for the next, like, 5 or 10 years?
Well, certainly to grow this business. Sanford Rose Associates, which I'm a franchise owner, taught me a lot about growing a recruiting business. And it's something I aspire to have a level of size that would require researchers and recruiters as part of this business. So that's where I see myself headed. The work itself is something I really enjoy, and it frankly is a lot of flexibility. If you have a computer and a phone, and not necessarily in that order, you can do this business. And I've found that through the training I get with Sanford Rose regularly, that I'm moving in a direction that's going to grow this for the long term.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so technology has made this very mobile. Do you meet with your prospects in person, or are you handling a
yes,
lot of that?
Yes, whenever I can. Not always, because the search practice is regional and national. So when I'm talking to somebody, you know, from Florida or California, I'm not personally meeting them. Sometimes digitally we can. But many of my positions are in the Northeast Ohio area that I've filled. And yes, I'll meet with candidates and assess them in person. And, mm-hmm. and that's a plus to the client as well.
Yeah. And are the clients mostly regional?
Mostly in the Midwest. Yes, I'm working mm-hmm. with companies that either do business in the Midwest or are based here or both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. So, Dan, I understand that you've developed some resources of your own. Can you tell me about those?
Yes, actually, as a member of the Interview Doctor, which I now have as a colleague, but I'm not part of that business, it's called the Interview Doctor, and my partner in that business, Catherine Burek, and I developed a Job Seeker Manifesto trilogy of books. The first one on how to develop a personal marketing plan, and the second, how to tweak and develop and draft a resume that gets you looks, and then the third of the interviewing process, how to answer questions in a way that is engaging and gets you callbacks. So those three pieces to the interviewing process, which of course I do coach people that I'm representing to clients on how to best prepare for an interview. But that's available. Those three books are available on Amazon and on Catherine's webpage, interviewdoc.com, that are books I think get to the heart of interviewing effectively and as well as preparing yourself for your next opportunity. So how do you develop that plan? How do you change your resume around? It's a fluid document. How do you make it the best it can be? And also how your LinkedIn profile can represent you as well. So, you know, we've got a lot of good information there. We're very proud of what we did. And I'm the co-author, but Catherine is the interview doctor. And she is somebody I would refer candidates to as well.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we'll make sure that we include a link to that in the article.
Okay, great.
Well, I understand that you are very involved in Toastmasters. And so do you do a lot of public speaking right now?
I speak, I would say, fairly regularly. I do enjoy Toastmasters. I mean, it's all about public speaking. And I was one of those folks a long time ago who was very uncomfortable getting up in front of an audience, got over that fear through Toastmasters my first time through it. And then several years ago, for the growth of this business, I rejoined it and I've just kind of fallen in love with what we do and developing speeches that influence and inform and inspire. And I've become kind of a mentor to a lot of people in our area on Toastmastering.
Mm-hmm. And so where else besides Toastmasters do you speak?
Well, I'll speak to Vistage Group, a service organization, speak in professional association meetings. I talk a lot about the interviewing process and have done a lot with developing information on good interviewing techniques. But I also have that perspective of being the former HR guy who never hired recruiters, and now I am one. So it's kind of like going over to the dark side, I tell people. And so, but I do have a speech where I talk about how to best work with a recruiter and, mm-hmm. and build relationships, which I think is important to a company. You have recruiters that are partners.
Yeah.
And so that's a message that I'll get out there on a regular basis. I'll do talks.
Yeah, good. So I understand that you've lived in Canton for quite some time, and so
yeah.
and I also know that the giving back to the community has been important to you. So can you give us an idea of why you decided to stick it out in Canton when the rust came in?
Yeah, I have an unusual story being a professionally educated person and living in the town where I grew up. It doesn't happen a lot, but it worked out well for us, my wife and I, and Canton's been a good place for us to build strong friendships and family and wherever they go, and they're all over the world. But it's been a good anchor for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a guy that has been involved in the community for a while and certainly think that's added a lot of value for me personally and for my family. So
what are some examples of what groups that you are involved with?
Well, I've been involved with kids a lot. When my kids were younger, my wife and I were, I was the PTO president. She was the treasurer. And then when they were in high school, I was the vocal patrons president. She was the treasurer. And we did that for a long time in both those roles. And not just our own kids, but other kids in the community. We've been involved with a program called Angel Tree, where we families with incarcerated members, we would do parties for kids, did that for a long time. I'm doing a Toastmasters program now pretty regularly in a detention center where we have felons that are still pretty young boys and hopefully giving them something to be hopeful about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm involved in a couple of boards for children, child and adolescents, a large group in town for mental health issues with children, and then a smaller grassroots group that I've been on their board for a few years. We, work with the homeless and people on reentry coming out of jail. So
mm-hmm.
those are some of the things I get involved in.
And this is a question that I ask women more frequently, but I want to ask you too. Like, how do you balance everything?
I have a great partner for a wife.
Makes
it all possible. She's quite patient with my many desires to be involved. I'm a church guy. I do pray regularly. I think that helps in the balance
mm-hmm.
factor as well. The Bible and what that can teach you. And mm-hmm. I'm blessed with a great family that kind of keep me grounded, because if they think I'm trying to do too much, they will be very clear about telling me to slow down. So
mm-hmm.
I don't
yeah.
know. Balance.
Good.
I never really think about it too much. I just try to live it every day. So
yeah. Fantastic. Thanks. So one question I ask everybody, Dan, is since this is in Soar to Success magazine, I always ask everyone, with the people that you have worked with over the years and the candidates that you place, or even the people that you meet in the companies that you work with, what are the top three traits that you notice in people? And when you see those, you know for sure that person is already successful or is going to be successful, and that's what you attribute it to. So can you give me three traits?
Yeah. The first one is, I would say, adaptability, the ability to kind of assess the situation and then be that person for that that particular situation you're in. People who have grown to prominence in their careers have not always been the person they are right now. I just watched an interview this morning with the CEO of General Motors, and she started out as an intern there several years ago. Well, she wasn't the person she is today, 40 or 50, 40 years ago. But she's been able to adapt and figure out, there are usually about three key things you need to be able to do in any role. Those are the people that are successful are ones that are adaptable. So that's a big piece to me. And if they've been able to adapt in a role before, they have a really good chance at being able to do it again. So that's one. Then the second would be, do they have the type of approach that, first of all, there's personal accountability in how they approach the work. They own whatever they're doing. And if it's not going the way they want it to exactly, they don't look for blame, they look for solutions. So also that they have that capacity as leaders to have that personal charisma or interpersonal depth, that people trust them and that people will be able to be held accountable by by the way that they interact with them. You know, in operations, for example, there's, you know, you need to have somebody who knows how to think lean and knows how to think about always getting things more efficiently done for the customer, right? But
right.
But you have to get people involved in that process and buying into it. And so personal accountability and then holding others accountable, I think, is really critical to success in what we do. And then the third would be humor. I would say that, I know in Toastmasters, people that are funny in front of a group get paid a lot more than people that just give you information, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking for somebody who makes people smile, who makes people laugh, and can keep a meeting just engaged by their occasional witty comments. I was in a meeting just last week with a fellow who's, every 10 minutes you're going to smile about something because he just has that perspective. He'll tell you what he thinks, but in a manner that keeps it light and keeps it fun to just be with him. And that's important, I think. It's having that sense of camaraderie that you can build with people and enjoy what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are three really great traits. So thanks so much for that. I'm sure people will benefit from reading those in the magazine and listening to them here on this podcast. So, Dan, why don't you tell us how people can get in touch with you?
Well, the first thing they can do is hook up with me on LinkedIn. I have this social media guru that I work with that makes my LinkedIn page so much more robust from the posts that she puts on there. So I would say look me up on LinkedIn first. That would be my first thought. Second is my email address is dan@dantoussaint.com, and that will go directly into something I look at several times a day. So I would say go there, and my website, dantoussaint.com, where I have jobs posted that I'm working on right now, as well as how you can reach me. And then we do have a business line. You can call 330-966-8789 to contact me directly.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks so much.
Thanks for listening
being on
to
our
the Soar to Success
Dan,
podcast.
It really was great talking
for more
to
insights
you, and
into growing your business
from
or improving your
to
quality
you
of
say.
Life,
thanks,
visit SoarToSuccessMagazine.com.
Great, thanks.
And subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.